Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at CITR.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody.
Having trouble finding affordable, fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe, located in the McMillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM with Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, which is a bit of chit-chat and, well, we'll call it debate. Should we call it debate, Sierra?
Definitely debate.
All right, we've got some debate and also some kick-ass music, as always, so stay tuned.
Simon and I have very different opinions on things, so you hear all of that.
Yeah, we got some good topics for tonight, so definitely lots to talk about. We had a live show last week, some interesting things happened, so...
That should be a whole debate topic in itself.
Oh yeah, we got lots to talk about that, except we're probably going to agree, I think, on what went down.
Yeah, that's a bit more chit-chat rather than debate, unless I'm going to take the side of them.
So stay tuned for that interesting topic, but I think it's time for some white noise.
Morning. The following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by paper towels, because fuck the earth. First up tonight, someone's been drinking.
What time did you get in last night?
What does it matter?
You left the front door unlocked.
How? I came in through the window.
And you were sick all over the hall carpet.
Like you've never done that.
Yes, but I had the decency to blame it on the dog.
So that's why Rex went to the farm.
And you pissed in my plant pot!
So what?
There wasn't even a plant in it. Now it's just a bucket of piss.
Whatever. Be quiet. I have a hangover.
And how did you afford all that beer? Did you steal money from my wallet?
No, I mugged the old lady next door.
Oh, that's okay then.
But you also woke up your sister.
Wait, I have a sister?
No, don't go in the attic.
Look, would you just leave me alone?
No, this drinking has gotten way out of hand.
Too right. We would never behave like this.
Yes, you have. Last New Year's Eve, you threw up in my laundry basket.
And who does the laundry?
Touche. But I'm 18. I'm allowed to be reckless.
Not in this house.
So I can get wasted elsewhere?
Yes, vomit on somebody else's carpet.
I don't drink. It gets in the way of my heroin habit. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back!
Good evening, Elvis and Dolly. We have a crucial mission for you two that requires the utmost delicacy and skill.
So why are we doing it?
Cutbacks. Anyway, the threat of war with North Korea is at an all-time high, so we need you two to go into their nuclear missile base and destroy everything.
Oh, hallelujah! This is a full-scale fuck-em-up mission!
No, we want this to be a subtle, but giant explosion.
Well, that seems contradictory.
Of course it is. Donald Trump said it.
Oh.
You will be entering the country via boat. We've paid some Korean fishermen to escort you.
Ooh, escorts?
Not that kind, honey.
Oh. God damn it, I hate the ocean.
Really? Reminds me of you. It's large and suffocating.
Hey, that was one time, and she had no fixed address, so it's not really my problem.
Oh, sure.
How do you know these fishermen won't rat us out?
The CIA paid them 5 years' salary.
Whoa, that's a lot of cash.
Well, actually, it was about $30 each.
Hey, you. How much longer till we're in ping pong?
3 hours.
God damn it, can we go any faster?
No.
Wanna play a game?
Anyone for some Russian roulette?
No.
Maybe some Romanian roulette?
What's that?
I'll point a gun at you and you make the boat go faster.
We're at top speed, asshole.
This boat is an embarrassment to the word top speed.
That's two words, moron.
We are so gonna get caught.
Shut up and stay hidden. The customs people are nearly done checking the boat.
You know what we should do while we wait?
What?
Maybe, touch each other a little?
Elvis, did you not just go to that sexual harassment seminar?
Yeah. Didn't really help, though. They just made me stand in a cold shower for 8 hours.
Well, I wouldn't touch you if you were the last person on Earth.
How could you? Because if I'm the last person on Earth, that would mean that you're dead, smarty pants.
Are you touching my ass?
No.
The next part of you that touches me, I'm gonna break off.
Who's that?
God damn it.
Hands in the air.
Ah, shit. I might have a plan.
Please stop touching me.
This is the second time in 3 weeks we've been tied up.
No shit, lady.
I gotta look for a better job.
At least you got options. I'm gonna be dead.
Whatever, you were already dead on the inside.
Hey, I got feelings. Most of them are horniness, but they're still feelings.
Good evening, Mr. Presley and Miss Parton.
Hey, I know you. You're that Gangnam-style guy.
Fuck you, asshole. I am Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un, the world's most greatest leader.
I'm pretty sure Angela Merkel could kick your ass in arm wrestling.
That was one time. She wouldn't do best of three.
Ah, shut up and get it over with and just kill us already.
Oh, no, 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 Mr. Presley. I have much bigger plans for you two.
Oh, God, I don't want to be your sex slave.
Ew, gross. No way. I'm so not into old plastic white ladies. No, I'm going to have you two both perform weekly duet shows for me. For my viewing pleasure.
Wait, so I gotta be on stage doing what I love once again? That doesn't sound so bad.
But only Cher songs.
No!
I don't think I can do this much longer.
Stay strong, Elvis.
I want to turn back time and stab myself in the face.
We just need to find our opportunity to escape.
But the guards are so careful. None of them would even try my anthrax suit.
You still got that lump of C4?
Oh, yeah. Secured in my butthole 24/7.
Okay. Follow my lead when the guard comes in.
Okay.
Time for food, you American scum.
Oh, Elvis, I just want to feel your gold jumpsuit wrapped around my body.
Huh? Oh, right. Yeah, Dolly. Let me squeeze those titties.
You make me sick. Your public affection is disgusting.
Let me feel those tight buns.
Oh, go to town, baby.
Oh, forgive me, God.
Ooh, ooh, easy.
Got it.
Oh, that tickles.
What the?
Catch, asshole.
Ew, what the hell is that?
Wow, good job. Smells like Korean barbecue.
Ugh, I am so asking for a raise when we get back.
Join in next time to find out if Dolly and Elvis do destroy the Korean nuclear program, or just each other. Next up tonight, someone wants a job!
So, David, tell me, what makes you want to be a baggage handler?
Well, it runs in the family. My great-granddad was a pilot, my granddad owned an airport, and my dad also spent a lot of time in and out of airports.
What did he do?
I think he was banging a check-in clerk.
Right. Well, I see you have a pedigree.
People say that, but actually, I'm more of a kibbles man.
So, what experience do you have to be a baggage handler?
12 years in counseling psychology.
Perfect. What experience do you have inside an airport?
I once masturbated at an airport.
So, you would say you perform well under stress?
Well, it was only a 20-minute layover, so I thought I did well.
Excellent. Now, do you have any connections to extremist organizations?
Well, I do host extreme and erotic Dungeons and Dragons every Friday.
Okay.
Oh, and does Al-Qaeda count?
Very much so. Tell me more?
Well, he's this guy who sells DVDs outside the pub, and calling his views on Michael Bay's cinematography extreme is an understatement.
He's not a fan?
On the contrary, he loves explosions.
Ah, I see. Have you ever been convicted of a crime?
If you call love a crime.
I don't.
Well, I did kill her husband. Does that count?
Moving on. Do you ever use discriminatory or racist language?
No, you fag.
Do you have a history of theft or robbery?
No, but I do like to collect other people's suitcases.
Lastly, have you ever had to take a test to prove your English ability?
No, I'm good at all the words.
Excellent. Well, unfortunately, I'm not sure we'll be able to offer you the position.
Right. Is it because I'm not foreign?
Oh no, you're overqualified. In fact, how would you like to wave those cones in front of the plane?
Oh, that would be wicked!
That piece was brought to you in part by the TSA, making you feel safe by molesting you. Next up tonight, someone's in trouble.
A word, please, Fred.
Yes, Jill?
You were late again today.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. My car broke down. The CD player stopped working.
And what excuse was it last week?
My granddad was ill. Had to take him to the vet.
And the week before that?
I had to drop my kids off at daycare.
Which daycare?
That's what we call the arcade.
These excuses are not good enough. You need to sort your life out.
I'm trying, but it's hard being a single father of 12.
You need to be on time. This is a place of business. Our clients can't wait. It's unprofessional.
I'm so sorry. It won't happen again.
Now get out there. Mr. Alvin has been waiting 20 minutes for his hand job.
I would never have kids. I don't need any more people around that are smarter than me. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood in Blackmore. Beer, bilge, and breast implants. I don't want to go to the beach.
We're going to the beach and that's final.
Why does he have to come along?
Because I'm currently shagging your mom, Richard.
Exactly. And he's the only one with a car that I'm currently shagging.
What about Dad?
His car's in the shop.
Well, did you remember to bring my bucket and spade?
Oh, yes.
You're gonna build a sandcastle, lad?
No, I'm gonna bury you.
We used to do that to my dad.
Yeah, but this time they're not gonna find you. Oh, no, the beach is full of people.
Oh, that's okay. We'll find a spot to sit.
I just didn't want any witnesses.
Richard, that is enough. No more talk of murder.
Fine. So when are you going to get rid of this plonker?
Oh, none of that either. Ooh, look, a beached whale.
That's an old bloke.
Oh, sorry, got me bad glasses on.
Well, why wear them then if they're shit?
Makes you look like a sexy librarian who's let herself go.
Oh, thanks, babe.
You make me sick. Ooh, a chip van. Can I get some?
No, I brought sandwiches. Much healthier. Now, do you want a chip sandwich or a Dorito sandwich?
Oh, forget it. I'm just gonna have a ciggy.
Should he really be smoking?
Oh, no. The price of them these days.
Ah, this is a good spot. Not too many condom wrappers.
You're gonna put your Speedos on, Richard?
Piss off. What if a hot bird sees them?
Ah, the seagulls won't care.
I mean a girl, idiot.
Well, you can't go in the water without them.
Fine. Try not to embarrass me while I go change.
Oh, God, he's hard work.
Oh, he reminds me of my youngest.
You got kids?
Yes, three of them. Don't see them much anymore on account of them moving away.
Ah, they gone somewhere nice?
Yeah, sort of. Prison. But one of the nicer ones. They got a ping pong table.
Oh, that's not so bad then. I do worry Richard might end up there.
He'll be fine. He's a smart lad. He won't get caught.
Well, fingers crossed anyway.
All right, let's go in the water then.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, some bloke in the changing rooms is helping all the kids get changed.
What?
Oh, it's all right. He said he used to be a PE teacher.
God, Jesus Christ, where is he? I'll batter him.
He's just over there putting more film in his camera.
All right.
Be careful, Felix.
Oi, dickhead. What the flip do you think you're doing?
Pardon?
You've been helping these kids get changed?
What? Oh, my nose! Oh, my God! You broke my nose!
Ah,
and have some of this.
Please, I've got stage 4 cancer.
Shut up, you kitty fiddler.
What is funny about this?
Nothing, except that bloke didn't do anything. So Felix is about to get nipped by the police.
Oh, Richard! Oh, well, saves me breaking up with him next week.
My mother continued dating strange men, including my father. Last Up Tonight is an advert!
From the people who brought you such self-help books as Chicken Soup for the Slow, Rich Dad, Pour Poison in His Coffee, and How to Stop Worrying and Start Lying, comes the latest book you don't want to miss, How to Win Friends and Impregnate People. This book will explain how to be a person people can actually tolerate by simply changing everything about your personality. It's that easy. No need to accept who you are, because who would want to be you? Just simply follow our 10 basic tenets and no one will recognize you, because you'll be just like every other feckless drone out there. You'll never rub anyone the wrong way ever again, because you'll never have anything worth saying ever again. So order your copy today before all the other losers do. Warning, book may cause unfounded confidence, irritable friends, tired conversations, predictable prose, bowel evacuation, and anal leakage.
I read a lot of fiction growing up, mainly the Bible. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, Nick Rinker, Kenneth Tynan, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Nicholput.
All right, there you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed our sketch comedy for this week. We will, of course, have more next week. In fact, next week we're going to do a best of show. So tune in for that, and we'll have a jam-packed show with the best stuff over the last few episodes. So that should be pretty fun. Coming up right away is the White Noise After Show. So let's kick it off with some music right away. First up tonight, we're going to play some Sex with Strangers. And this is Gift of Fear.
Decorated in your deniers, what do you need me to prove?
What's the matter with your desire? What you can and you can't do? Come along and we'll flame the fires I've been burning for you. We'll be right back.
I knew you knew me better than I knew myself. You embodied all the words that you would teach. You are my hero, you marvelous astral traveling freak. Astral traveling freak. Astral traveling.
All right, there we go. That was Trampoline with Astral Master off A Song Is Just a Cigar Sometimes.
Such good album names tonight.
Sometimes A Song Is Just a Cigar. Yeah,
I didn't believe Simon when he told me that was the album name. I was like, are you sure?
But yeah, that's what it was. So yeah, that was not bad start. So yeah, let's get right into the topic tonight. Our first topic tonight is about what went down this week with us. So we had a live show last Thursday at the Ignite Youth Festival, which was a lot of fun on the night. We had a great response from the audience. Like, we had,
except for my one friend,
except for your one German Swiss friend who wasn't, apparently didn't tickle his. Did he ever tell you why?
He told me it just wasn't his type of humor. And that he wished it could have been better because he thinks I'm a funny person. I love the guy, but it was a very interesting critique.
Yeah.
He was very pained to tell me, though. He's like, I wish I could have liked it more. But so we had problems because apparently, there were some issues with our material, Simon?
Yeah, so what happened was, we had this great night Thursday. I mean, we had a bunch of people I didn't know come up to us afterwards and tell us how great it was. And, like, I felt really good about the show.
It felt awesome. Like, it was one of my first times, like, actually performing on stage. And there was just such a great energy. The theater felt like an amazing venue.
Yeah, every joke hit. Like, we had a really good time. So we felt great about it. And then I get an email on the Friday because we were meant to MC the show on Saturday. So we were going to do bits between the acts on Saturday night.
These really funny mini little sketches. They're absolutely absurdist, but really funny.
And I got this email on Friday to say that apparently they'd had feedback from some of the patrons that our comedy had made them feel unsafe.
To be fair, the theme of the evening was safety night, so if comedy made them feel unsafe and their hard hats couldn't properly protect them from their fragile minds, then maybe we did make them feel unsafe.
Well, it blew my mind because, A, it was such a contrast with how the reception we got on Thursday, and B, that's not the right word for it, in my opinion.
No.
It really isn't. I can understand if you were offended by the show, and that is your opinion, and you should probably keep it to yourself, really, because that's just an opinion. It's a subjective idea and shouldn't really have any bearing. But okay, if you're offended, but to say you felt they felt unsafe just really was a head scratcher to me, because to me that means that they felt genuinely threatened by what we were doing, which is so ludicrous when there's nothing homophobic, sexist, or racist. There's no punching down. We don't take the mick out of, people of disadvantaged status. Like, and it's satire. So what they should have said was, I didn't get it, and it wasn't really my cup of tea, and that's fair enough.
But people's egos are in the way of that, right? And something you used to say on the show, or maybe it was just after one sketch, like, if you're offended by any of the topics raised in tonight's episode, then go do something about it, right? Like, if something makes you uncomfortable, which good art should, right? I'm sure you believe that. Then if you're uncomfortable, but it's not the writer's responsibility, it's not the performer's responsibility, it's your own responsibility to figure out why that makes you uncomfortable or unsafe, per se, and then do something about it if it bothers you.
Totally. And so, I mean, that's fair enough if they felt, if they objected to some of the stuff we did Thursday. But the festival's response was to ban us from emceeing on the Saturday show. And I'd written a completely clean set for Saturday because I knew we were emceeing, so we'd be between all the acts, and some of them may not, it would be sort of all ages perhaps, and some of it might not be appropriate for children, our regular stuff. So I did a completely clean set. I sent them these sketches
about a month ago and got a response of fantastic, well done. Like the producer came up to us on the night on Thursday and said, thank you for writing a clean set for Saturday. I really appreciate it. And so I know we were happy to. We spent a month rehearsing it, but they said we couldn't perform on Saturday. So
it was absolute bollocks. Yeah,
I know. I emailed them back and went, I don't understand how what we did on Thursday has any bearing on Saturday. We weren't even performing on the Saturday as White Noise, but merely like we'd made up a name because it was about dinosaurs in the 1920s. So I called the three of them the Dino Trio, and there was going to be three of the actors from our show in it, and the host was going to be one of the other actors. So it wouldn't even have appeared to be White Noise. So I sent them an email explaining, like, I don't understand how this has any bearing. And I got no response. They just cut us off. They didn't respond at all.
They were just really offended by Ken's face. And they saw that he was going to be the host. And he goes, this man is not safe for children. There's something about the look. Don't you think?
I'd say he's the least threatening of all of us, in truth.
They thought that maybe the claws that would be held by the Triceratops or the Velociraptor might make the children feel unsafe in the dinosaur performance.
Yeah, I mean, it just blew my mind.
But now the question is, how does that make you feel about future content that you're going to write and have performed?
The only bearing it has on my future endeavors is to not bother with anything called a youth festival, even though the youth festival is meant to be like 14 to 30. So that includes the majority of that age group is adults, and therefore, and even like at 14, you pretty well can watch anything besides maybe graphic sex and graphic violence, which of course neither of which is in our set. So, you know, if we were performing on television, I feel like we would have got a TV 14 rating in Canada. That would have been appropriate
probably
for our material.
But you know there's more coddling in North America.
Well, except for the fact that it's not really in that you can do whatever you want on cable, pretty much, as long as people are paying for it. Network TV won't touch a lot of stuff because they have such a wide audience and they're trying to appeal for a very mass audience. But cable, like, you can get away with murder. I mean, look at some of the stuff that does go on in different shows on cable.
But I think, like, what the issue is like, what humor is acceptable? So I feel like your writing style, because of your origins and because of your influences, much more British comedy, right? And when British comics come to North America, some of their jokes fall flat because the audience will be scandalized by different things. And it's maybe not the unsafe necessarily, but people are offended because even if it's not making fun of, like, disadvantaged populations, the joke might appear that way.
Well, I mean, you say that, but then I can give you some great examples of North American comics doing stuff that's far like worse than what I've done in terms of, you know, perhaps some of the content and stuff, like Doug Stanhope, for example.
Yeah.
And he is a little more, arguably a little more niche, but only because a lot of TV networks won't touch him, so his exposure he's struggled for exposure in some regard, except now that he is on things like the comedy on Netflix and things like that, so he is now finally getting that massive exposure.
But do you feel like you have to wait until you're later on in your career where you've become established and you have your own sort of comedy brand? Whereas, like, we're coming into this festival, one of the first times we've performed live, and the name is still to be made?
No, because we need to be true to what we are. And any comedy writer would tell you that, which is be who, you know, write what you are and write who you are. Don't pretend to be something else. Don't try to be something else because it won't work.
So is there no bit of constructive feedback that you take from this?
No, except don't apply for those youth festivals because people will misconstrue it. But we need, you know, I would continue forward because that's the annoying thing is I don't feel like there's anything objectionable in any of our work because, as I said before, it's not racist, it's not sexist, it's not homophobic.
Yeah.
And so the only way that it can be deemed offensive is if it's misconstrued. And that's not on me. That is on the audience.
Yeah. But you need, as a writer and as a performer, we need to do our best to connect with the audience and figure out, like, how their minds work, what they find funny, and to stretch their minds a bit, right?
But
so you need to be just ahead of them, but not too far ahead.
And if it was complete silence on the night, then I would say you're right.
Yeah.
But we had our best response I've ever had doing a live show. Like, we killed it. People were crying, laughing. We got so many people came up to us after the show and went, to be honest, most of that festival was god-awful, but you guys came in and saved it and did a brilliant half hour at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And they were quite, you know, they were thankful that we were even there. So it blew my mind that they would take the opinion of two, maybe three people people and decide, no, Sodom, with fuck all of them. Like, that just made no sense.
It was frustrating, but I like that you came back and were like, you know what, guys, I'm proud that we went out there and we did it, and that's just more motivation to try and push those boundaries in the future.
Yeah, like, I say, the only thing, if anything, it made me believe even more in what we were doing.
Yeah, and I feel like young people need to see that kind of stuff and be challenged in their mind frames, because you're more likely as a teenager to be open to stretching your mind or, like, switching your beliefs than you are as an adult set in their ways. So I think show teenagers that content that's slightly more scandalous.
Yeah, and there's lots in there. Like, you know, we have that one sketch about the feminist rapper, and it's a great sketch in that it touches upon so many different issues of feminism, about equal pay, about and even sort of reverse of that, so reverse issues of feminism, like issues of masculinity and things like that. Mm-hmm. It talks about also like objectification of women and sexualization of women. It covers everything within that sketch. And yet it's still a very accessible and entertaining piece, but perhaps there are a few people who could, you know, take something from that, who haven't perhaps thought about it. Mm-hmm. But it's satire, so that, you know, it's funny because the guy's getting it wrong in that he's trying to be a feminist and he's failing, which I think also is something that a lot of men go through, where, like, they want to be a positive,
like,
influence and in the female people in their lives, they want to be a positive influence there.
Female people, that's a new one. Jeez.
People anyway.
And this is why I hosted on International Women's Day, because some men just haven't figured it out.
quite. There's a lot of good in what we do, and I'm not going to be dissuaded by a few people who can't look past a few words, because I think it was just certain words, maybe. Yeah. Like, they heard the word Auschwitz and went off, when really that's a joke about a guy who it's just like an incongruity in that, like, somebody asked for a historical holiday and you think he's going to say Rome and then he says Auschwitz.
Yeah. I think there's an important filter to look at your writing that can be like, how might this be misconstrued, but not to let it like completely dismantle the idea you're trying to put across, not to let it dissuade you from creating humor that makes an impact, but just to kind of have some thought process. But I don't think that they approached it in the right way at all. And
no.
I think it was much too severe of a reaction.
And it's something I'm always conscious of when I'm writing, which is this punching down? Is this, you know?
Exactly. Like, and I like that you followed up with that kind of thing, because I know when I've looked to write sketches, I've been like, oh, is this offensive? Am I trying to make a point in a way that would be derogatory? And
And like tonight, there was one sketch where we used the word fag, and it's not derogative towards gay people. What it is is a guy saying, you know, first he says, no, I'm not offensive, I don't say anything inappropriate, and then he says something inappropriate.
Yeah. So what people fail to understand is that you're not making fun of the people who are disadvantaged. You're illuminating that part of the society that would make fun of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you're framing them in a way that exposes their stupidity.
Quite. All right, let's play another song, and then we'll come back and do a bit more chit-chat. We've got some other good topics tonight. Next up tonight is Twist with Calendar Girls.
Calendar girls, you're so in.
All right, there we go. That is Twist with Calendar Girls. Yeah, yeah, that was good, eh?
Good stuff, yeah.
I enjoyed that. Really that was good. Oh, wait, no, sorry. That was Art Deco with She's So Hot. My brain's gone. And
that
before
was
that
chose.
Was Twist with Calendar Girls. but yeah, yeah, that was wicked. I really liked that one. All right, so our next topic for tonight, would you like to introduce it, Sierra?
Yeah, so we were talking about, is a university education worth it? Now, as both Simon and I are kind of at the end of our university education, at least for the moment, I think it was a good question to talk about. So now, in our day and age, do we really think that it's worth it to get this degree? What do you think, Simon?
Well, I think there's definitely, like many things, pros and cons. The big cons that stick out, of course, is the debt.
Yes.
It's a little crippling.
What do you mean? I've never heard of this concept.
Yeah. Yeah, so like that is a big frustration coming out of it is like, you know, it's like having a mortgage that you don't even really have anything for except this piece of paper. So there's that concern about it. But let's look at the pros. So you've got the experience. You get to...
Yeah, late nights and papers, really good experiences.
you know, hopefully, depending on your degree, you get to meet some really good teachers who inspire you to be interested in topics, maybe look at things a little differently. I definitely think my mind has been, you know, sort of broadened by some of what I've learned in different classes. Interestingly, not necessarily in my major, and maybe that's because I was already focused on the topics within my major a little bit coming into it, but some of the electives I've taken, like anthropology, and a lot of my, I mean, my minor is in psych, so I've taken a lot of psych courses, and I found those to be really interesting, and a lot of, you know, really good stuff that is useful throughout life to know, and for my own mental well-being. So there's definitely been a lot of good information that I've learned. I mean, in this day and age, there's the argument that you can basically get all of that online, but what you don't have is someone there to synthesize it and give you sort of the best bits of what is out there in that massive collection that is the knowledge of the internet.
Yeah, Google lacks like the filter of expertise, which is super useful.
Google
to have.
Scholar.
Oh, Google Scholar is amazing.
Yeah, except for the fact that you click on it and then it's like, yeah, buy this journal article if you want to read it.
Oh, the search results drive me mad on Google Scholar. I can't believe it. I used it to write papers for like 2 years. The sources are so bad.
Yeah, and having access to the UBC library is nice in that there's a lot there. I mean, you could just take one course a year and then still have access to them. You wouldn't have to finish a degree. So that's one way of getting around that. Mm-hmm. And of course, The big argument is, well, maybe then you'll have a better career afterwards. And of course, there are statistics that you earn on average more money if you graduate from university than if you didn't go to university. But that could arguably just be because you're a more intelligent person on average, because you're somebody who's capable of finishing a difficult degree, and therefore it's not actually to do with having the degree. But there are lots of jobs that you can apply for that will say a minimum requirement is a bachelor's degree in something.
Well, according to the homeless guy I talked to the other day, you don't need any special degrees. You could become a driver of really expensive film equipment and make up to $500,000 a year. He was so specialized in his knowledge that he was sitting on the street looking for $15. So, yeah.
But it's a good point. Of course, you can make lots of money without going to school, whether you do a trade of some sort.
Yeah, the thing is, like, people make so much money off trade school these days. And those jobs that, like, maybe educated people aren't necessarily as willing to do, you can make bank from. Like, look at all the construction workers on campus.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, my, like, because when I was like about 14 or 15, I actually at one point wanted to be a mechanic, and my dad got really mad because he was like, no, you have to go to school, do a proper job and stuff. And I'm like, I'd be making a lot more money if I was a mechanic right now than I currently am.
Yeah, mechanic versus philosopher, who makes more money? If you look at the average salary of writers, you might want to like cry yourself to sleep.
But if you look at job satisfaction, for the most part, yeah, writing and a lot of degree jobs tend to have high satisfaction rates.
Is plunging more into your existential sadness increasing your job satisfaction? That must help.
Yeah, I mean, and that's maybe, that's part of the problem, especially doing the sort of degree I've done, is that you do have a lot of time to sit there and think more than you should almost, in that you get to a point where you just end up sort of going over and over stuff, and it actually becomes unhealthy eventually.
But you don't overthink things.
Yeah, not at all. So it's, yeah, there's lots of pros and cons. And I really think it comes down to, well, what do you actually want to do? And how,
right.
And how do you get to that point? I mean, I did a sort of odd thing in that most people who want to be writers would do a creative writing degree. Mm-hmm. But what I sort of saw was that a lot of those people tend to struggle to then have big ideas and depth to their stories because they have nothing to say. They know their structure is brilliant and their writing style is perhaps very good, but there's no substance to what they're doing because they haven't thought deeply about the and it's not only understanding your perspective, but being able to write other perspectives well, like understanding the conservative mindset well, understanding the sort of misogynistic mindset, whatever it is, like whatever is different to you, being able to understand those characters and be able to portray them accurately is not necessarily a skill you can't learn without going to school, but it helps.
How did taking psychology and
philosophy
courses, how did that help you understand this misogynistic mindset?
Because I heard them talk in class and
like, I can't believe you got a bunch of misogynists in your philosophy courses.
Yeah, it's a pretty, like, it's interesting because psychology was like 80% female in most classes.
Right.
But philosophy was like probably 70-80% guys for the most part in most classes.
I'm actually surprised by the gender disparity in philosophy courses.
Yeah, it's one of the only, because there are more women than men at university at UBC right now. Mm-hmm. Certain faculties and certain, like, you know, engineering, of course, traditionally is a lot more men.
What are you talking about?
philosophy, definitely a little bit. It's not as bad as it was, but you can see in the fact that, like, I've had maybe one or two female lecturers ever in philosophy that I can remember. One of them was my favorite ever, which was actually a 102 course that I took. And she was a she specialized in bioethics and taught like medical ethics. And
those are good classes to take.
Yeah, but she was really good, and she like really like I was really inspired by her style and what she said. Like she was one of my favorite teachers I've had. But in psych, I've had a fair few more females. Still, a majority of them have been men. And there's all sorts of arguments to be made there for like, well, it's because more women graduate with a bachelor's, but then for some reason they drop off when it comes to the master's and the PhD, whether it's like lifestyle and they want to go on and have families and stuff, and that becomes difficult. There's all sorts of reasons why that may be so, and it's probably will change as we go on.
Well, the more educated you are as a woman, the less like you are to find a husband. So keep out of school and go make babies. Welcome to fascist Italy.
Is that a true statistic, or are you just pulling that out somewhere?
Definitely historically, like that was a lot of the ideas they had towards women. It's like, oh, stay out of university, you know, because you're supposed to go make babies. And if you're too smart, a man won't love you because he'll be challenged by your intellect. And I don't think that there's that necessarily on the surface, but I feel like inside there's still a little bit of that sentiment.
Interesting.
It's threatening for women to have too many degrees.
Because I'm kind of the opposite in that if I like don't feel somewhat intellectually like stimulated and challenged by someone I'm hanging out with, I get bored really quickly. Like, you know, it has to be, I have to have that in interesting conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. But I could see that maybe with other people, of course, like there could be people like that, but
I'm just surprised
personally not.
I'm just surprised at the number of men who say that they want to talk to an intelligent woman, and then when they do, they're like confused and they don't know how to react.
Is this personal experience, Sierra?
Of course not. I've only been made fun of for being a bit too nerdy once or twice in my life.
Okay, so I've kind of given mine. Have you got any more thoughts on...
Well, I think in terms of the basic question of is university worth it in the long run? I found when I was taking co-op, I really thought through this question a lot because I found it really interesting that people had degrees completely differently than what they were doing professionally. And I was learning more and more that it wasn't required for you to have a degree in a certain area, which is kind of liberating in a sense. I go, I don't have to do something that's political just because I study international relations. But I think it's really interesting just the reasons that you go to university aren't necessarily the piece of paper or they're not what you put on your resume. It's literally just who you meet having the broad enough like platform to have new experiences, things like doing a radio show and writing for that, or meeting certain people who are you're going to or influence your career path, your personal life later on. And I think just the ability to go to a new, completely new environment. That's why I advocate someone would move to a different city for university and just figure out who you are and what you want without the influence of your parents is such a powerful thing. And I think if you go directly from high school into a job, then you're kind of limited and your own like ability to indulge in what you want individually as a person and just go with the thing that has makes you the most money right off the bat. I think that's kind of a shame.
Yeah, and I honestly, if you are 17, 18 and you are like really doubting that the thing that you've picked to apply for university is actually what you're even really interested in, but it's because mom and dad have said it's what you should do or something like that, don't do it. Trust me.
Yeah, fuck that.
Don't do it. Take a year out. Take 2 years out. Whatever it takes. Like, work really hard this year. Get the grades you need so you can have the choice to go where you want afterwards. But don't do it just because someone else tells you to. Because all you'll do is waste time and money. And you'll change degrees. And you'll just piss people. You'll piss them off even more. So just be honest with them. And they should respect you for it. Maybe not. It might go horribly wrong. It all depends on your parents and how they are. But just be honest with yourself and be honest with them, and they should respect you for it.
And be as financially independent as you can as a millennial, because then you get to make your own decisions in your own life. Like, my dad told me to be a chemical engineer, and I go, Dad, I hate math and science. I would make a terrible engineer. And he goes, but you should, because more women need to be in science. And I go, save it for the women who actually will. I'm going to study what I want, and because I'm paying for my own tuition, you can't tell me what I can or cannot study.
And if they say, well, we're not paying for school, say that's fine, and take the student loans and do it yourself, because it is a little daunting. But the payments aren't that bad.
Yeah.
And if you know, it's better to do it your own way and do what you actually want to do. The student loan system isn't that bad. It is enough money to live on. Like, I haven't worked that much during university. And the bursary programs are really good. If you apply for as many bursaries as possible, trust me, you'll get lots. I mean, I've been lucky. I'm not the most high achieving student, and I'm poor enough that I've done quite well from it. So if you need the money, there is help out there for you. So don't be put off by the financial burden of school. The resources are there for you. And Canada, it's still fortunately not crazy expensive. So make sure you do what you want to do.
Yeah. But also, don't just go to university because you feel like you have to.
No.
There was very much the mentality at my high school in the States that you need to go to university. And I personally wanted to. I knew very much that I wanted to continue learning, but not everyone does. And that's okay. And I think we need to let people know that it's okay not to go to university. Because some of these percentage of like high school graduates going to university, it's great, but you don't need like 95% of the population being university educated.
No, totally.
Especially if they don't actually want it and they're just wasting money while there and just partying, that kind of thing. You can go out clubbing if you want to party and not be $200,000 in debt for the rest of your life.
Totally. And if there's a trade you really want to do and it makes you happy, go do it and earn a stupid amount of money at 21. Just don't spend it on cocaine. It's a waste of money, kids. And I've seen that a lot living in Kelowna, friends. Who,
Simon knows
when
from
work
personal experience.
Not me, no, not me personally, but I've known lots of lads go work on the rigs and then waste all their money on drugs and partying. And so, you know, be a little smart with it, guys. Anyway, that's all we got time for tonight. We will be back next week. Last up tonight, we're going to play a band called Joseph. And this is White Flag. Enjoy your night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Getting loud, keep it down now, keep it down now. This talk going round this town, keep it down now, keep it down now. Noise is closing in from all sides, warning all the ways to die. They say you better give up.